Hello everyone, welcome to Adoption Adventures. Hope you're all keeping well, keeping safe, keeping happy. I've been recently liaising with someone and talking about a particular stage in our adoption process that really sort of sparked a lot of thoughts and memories, and I thought it would make for quite a good topic for this week's episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be talking to you about the court hearing and the... I'm going to use the term the legal process, but I would like to state really, really early on, I have no law qualifications whatsoever. I'm not going to be talking to you about the laws of the land. I'm just going to be talking to you about the experiences that we had with the laws of the land. Because I think actually this can cause quite a lot of anxiety for people. There are certain parts that might cause some, not confusion, but there will be bits that just aren't quite clear. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be breaking this episode down into different elements. The one element will be to talk about the legal process, but the other element will be to talk about how our process went and some of the experiences that we had. So essentially, the legal process for a child, and again, this is just from my experience and my understanding, so if I make some errors along the way, feel free to get in touch. Hopefully I'll get it all right. So essentially what needs to happen is when care proceedings need to take place and a child needs to be removed from a birth family, social services need to create a whole file and a whole array of evidence to demonstrate that the home that the child is in is no longer safe and secure for them. And that can be for a whole host of reasons, and there can be a whole host of traumas that can be identified and evidenced. Now, the social workers, they need to compile all of this information, they need to put all of this data together, and they need to, essentially, they need to prove beyond reasonable doubt that this child or children are no longer safe within their home. As you can imagine, some areas of trauma are, I'm using my air quotes here, easier for them to evidence, whilst others can be really quite difficult to evidence. So emotional abuse, for example, can be a really, really tricky one for a social worker to be able to evidence. It's not that they can't see it, and it's not that they don't know that it's happening. It's how do they put on paper what they have observed in a way that a impartial judge would be able to read and realise that they know what they're talking about. It's in some instances, it's not this, but it's almost like a gut feeling. They know something's wrong, and they could tell you that it's wrong, but until they've got the evidence, it just doesn't stand up in court. And they need to make sure that they feel as confident as possible to take any case to court so as they can do what's right for that child. At that point, the birth families or the carers at that stage, they are able to contest the situation. They are able to contest the decision and contest a report from social services. And 99 times out of 100, they are going to do that. Because whilst our birth parents may not be the right place for our children, they want to demonstrate that they feel that they are doing all that they can. And in many ways, we want them to do that, because we want to be able to tell our children that their parents, I'll say, put up a good fight. What I mean by that is that they did their best. They did all that they could to demonstrate that they did actually care. They were just struggling to physically show it and to sort of do the jobs that they need to do. So social services will build the report. You as adopters will then get the child permanency report. That's very similar to what's presented at the court hearing. And social services will present their case and present all of the reasons why they don't feel that this particular child is safe in that home and why they feel that the process should be for this child to then move into being adopted. As part of that process, social services need to assess the wider family, the wider birth family. They can't just assume that nobody within that family unit would be interested in looking after that child or capable. So they have to essentially ask the entire wide family, is there anyone that would like to come forward to offer care for this child? And they would then need to do a full analysis of anyone who had put in a request to care for those children. It doesn't mean that if someone within the wider family has said that they would like to take on this child, it does not automatically mean that they will get the child. It just means that they will be assessed for suitability. If social services have gone through all of their processes, they've assessed all of the wider family and come to the conclusion that there is not a suitable parent within that family, they will then make a request to the courts for the child to be removed from care and then put into the adoption arena. So they will speak to the courts and they will say, this is just from my experiences, they'll have data to suggest that a child within this sort of age bracket normally waits X amount of weeks. They would also have to have a demonstration of how many adopters they have available to demonstrate that if this child were to become available for adoption, they wouldn't be waiting for too long. The courts then put a time scale on when that child needs to have found a placement by. I forget how long that is. Something in my head is saying 40 weeks, but I think that's far too long. So essentially, they're given a time scale. Now, if they overstep that time scale, they can apply for an extension and they can ask for further time to continue family finding. This is usually granted when you're in a situation where it's a harder to place child, so older, child from sibling groups or from ethnic minority backgrounds or children with disabilities. So there's usually an understanding that there should be a longer time allocated to these children finding families. At that stage, the child then has their sort of care order given, and it's deemed that a family will be searched for, and then away you go. When social services then find a family, they will then do all of the support and all of the reviews and things like that. The first review that you have is the 12-week review. So after your child has been placed with you, 12 weeks after that placement date is your first review. At that stage, you have every right as an adopter within the UK to be able to submit your application to formally adopt your child. Now, you'll find usually when the younger the child, the sooner that sort of paperwork goes in. If it's an older child, sometimes the recommendation is actually that you hold off a little bit before submitting that paperwork and perhaps have a second or a third review, just to ensure that the support package is right and everything's going in the right position. That's certainly what we did. We actually waited until the third review. Now, we knew at the 12-week mark, we knew from day one, really, but from the 12-week mark, we knew that we wanted to submit the application to formally adopt little dude. I wasn't so sure. However, because of little dude's age, and because of the needs that he had, it was deemed that actually we may be smarter to just hold off for a little bit, because whilst he was still under the care of the agency and ourselves, so he had dual parental rights, they were able to access a lot more support very quickly because it was still under their care. Whereas if we had formally adopted, it meant that we needed to make formal applications for any external support. So it was things about surrounding his education and his attachment, and they just felt that whilst they felt comfortable, sort of social services felt comfortable that he was in the right place, they also wanted to ensure that we had as much support as we possibly could to keep that placement going. So we were told to hold off until the third review, at which point we submitted our paperwork and we made the application to formally adopt Little Dude. You then, after that stage, you then have essentially two hearings. So you have your official hearing and then you have the child's hearing. So the official hearing is when social services are going back, they've now got evidence of you as adoptive parents, and they are now going back to present your case to the courts to make the official adoption order. So this is a legally binding decision. It's a decision that cannot be reversed, and it means that whoever is going forward to become the adoptive parent, they then take over full paternal or parental, sorry, full parental responsibilities. So under different orders, like a special guardianship order or something like that, there's still dual parentage, whereas an adoption order is a sole parentage sort of order, so you then become the formal legal parents. At that hearing, that is the last opportunity for the child's birth family to contest the order being made, at which point they have the opportunity to bring legal aid, legal support. Now this is a stage that actually for us brought up quite a lot of anxiety, because this was when we were sort of told, you know, that Little Dude's birth mum had the opportunity to contest it, and she had contested Little Dude's siblings' adoption order, so it was very likely that she was going to be contesting this one as well. Now, as adopters, you aren't allowed to attend that court hearing. You have to rely on social services going ahead and doing that on your behalf and presenting your case on your behalf. If at that stage the judge feels that the birth family have a reason to contest and they have a right to appeal it, after that stage, if it did go to an appeal process, you as adoptive parents, you are also able to access free legal support to ensure that you get the best sort of approach on that. I'll be honest, from my experiences and my exposure to this, when it comes to the adoption order going forward, and this isn't a given because there are no givens, but through my experience, when it comes to that court hearing, the birth families or the carers that have had the child removed, they've kind of used up a lot of their chips in contesting up until this point. And whilst they still have every right to be able to contest, what they would have to be able to do is they'd need to contest, but they would need to contest on the basis that they had made massive alterations in their own personal behaviours. And they have to demonstrate that since the initial hearing, when it was decided that the children would be removed, since that point they have gone to great lengths to changing their lives and significantly improve their lives to ensure that a child would indeed be safe within their home. And with a lot of our birth families, they're in a situation whereby they're actually kind of, again, as a generalisation and a general sweeping statement, they're on a bit of a downward spiral, and having the children removed merely sort of accentuates that and accelerates that. So they're put in a position where it's going to be really, really difficult for them to sort of make any headway in improving, which is really difficult. It's not to say that they couldn't and that they don't, because some do, but some may make the decision to sort of change their ways and improve their habits, but unfortunately they've got a long way to go. And the courts, from my experience, tend to see that the journey that they've got to go on, the road that they've got to go down, it's just too long. And there's a good chance that they're not going to have made such headway. So when it comes to that hearing for the adoption order to be formally made, as a general rule, it's the social services are going to be fairly confident in your application to go forward. It's again, I can only talk from my experience, and I'm being conscientious not to make a sweeping statement, because I don't want to be the one that says it definitely doesn't happen and then all of a sudden it happens to you. I can just talk from my experiences of every adopter that I've ever spoken to. When they went to that hearing, so the adoption order hearing, things went right for them. I've not heard of cases recently where the appeal needed to happen. Again, they're happening and it does happen, so it could happen to you and you just have to roll with those punches. And that can be really, really tough. So that's the formal process. So for us, that process, obviously, we had no involvement when it came to the court hearing for little dude to be deemed that adoption was the plan for him. So we wasn't even aware that he existed at that point. So we didn't have to endure that. Adopters that are looking at early permanence or fostering for adoption, they're going to have to endure that, and that's going to be a real challenge. But again, it's about having to just trust that social services are going to do their job and that they aren't in the business of just removing children for the sake of it. They've got good reason, which means they've got good evidence. So try to keep as strong and as confident as you can that the right thing will happen for the child. And by that, I also mean that the right thing for the child could be that actually the birth family have done all that they can and they've actually made the right moves and that they have changed their ways to demonstrate that the child can carry on living with them. And sometimes that is the right thing for our children. Really, really challenging to hear, really, really challenging to think about, particularly if you're going through that yourself. But yeah, for us, we didn't have that experience. We wasn't a part of that. Little dude moved in with us. As I say, we had our reviews, and then it was deemed that we would go ahead and we would make a formal application to adopt. Something that we didn't think about, and we weren't aware of. It's not a big deal, but this will sound like it is, but it's not. It surprised us. for some reason. But you have to pay legal fees to submit the application. I think it was £200 at the time. We had to pay legal fees to submit the paperwork. We had no idea that that was coming up. We had no issue paying it, but we just didn't realise that that would be a thing. So it's worth noting that that might still be a case. I don't know if some agencies make that payment for you, or if it's the expectation that you'd be paying it and that you knew that that was a thing. We genuinely didn't. through us, to which Dad sort of spoke to our social worker and was like, "Are you absolutely kidding me? What do you mean we've got to pay to do this? Where did this come from?" She read him completely wrong and was like, "Oh, so are you saying that you don't want him? Is that what you're saying?" It's like, no, that is not what we're saying at all. We just didn't know that it was a thing. It has now led Dad. He started off by calling Little Dude a little eBay baby. Little Dude got wind of this, because it was all done very light-hearted, and Little Dude got wind of this and said that he did not feel that it was appropriate to be called an eBay baby. He didn't feel that that was on brand for him, so he wanted to be an Amazon Prime baby, because at least you have to pay membership for that. so now the ongoing joke is he's our Prime baby. So that was something that sort of come up, and we were told about the hearing where the social services would present the case and present that the adoption should take place. That was really, really difficult for me, because, like I say, we were told that as adoptive parents we weren't allowed to be in attendance of that, and that threw me, because I'm a bit of a control freak, and I sat back and I was like, okay, so you're asking me to trust that social services are able to go in and present this case really well, and you want me to just sit back and let them deem the future for my son, and I'm not even allowed to be there. And I got really nervous that social services couldn't possibly do as good a job as what I could do. I hasten to remind all of you the same message that I started this episode with. I have no legal background, no legal knowledge. I had never been to a court hearing for any reason, but particularly not for child in care court proceedings. I had done nothing of the sort, yet I still felt that I could do a better job than the social worker at presenting our case as to why Little Dude should move in with us. My anxiety went through the roof, because I feared that, would they have the same passion that I had? Would they be able to say what I needed to say? Truth be told, now that I've endured not being there, and now that I can look back without the emotion, I can say that of course we weren't going to be there, and of course I was never going to be able to do as good a job as they could do. They do this for a living. They know what to say, how to say it, what to present and what not. They're able to remove a lot of the emotion from it and just delve into the facts, and that is what actually helps move things forward. So it's absolutely right that we shouldn't be there. Leading up to the hearing, we were told by Little Dude's social worker that his birth mum had been in touch, and she'd made it clear that she intended to contest the placement. She did not feel that it was right and wanted to bring her son home. As I say, we were told that that was a pretty certain thing that was going to happen. Again, anxieties are through the roof, and you're uncomfortable with that as a thought process, but you kind of sit back and think, no, trust the system. And the court hearing happened. On the day of the court hearing, we were sat on the edge of our seat, obviously, for the entire... It felt like the entire day. It really wasn't. By mid-morning, I think we'd had a phone call. And the social worker contacted us. And she spoke to us and said that little dude's birth mum had actually contacted the social worker on the morning of the hearing. She had emailed in and she had said that she'd been thinking long and hard and she had reached the conclusion that she was not going to come to court and she was not going to contest the placement. She said that she recognised she hadn't made enough changes in her life, and while she didn't want to accept the adoption taking place, she knew that she needed to accept that she wasn't the right home for little dude, and she knew that he needed to be in the right place. She then made a request, and she said, "My only request for me to go ahead and accept this is I would like to meet my son's new parents." Now, I talk about that moment a lot. We have discussed it with Little Dude, and we share it a lot. I talk about Little Dude's mum, and I don't think I could ever demonstrate true empathy, because I'll never know what that feeling felt like. I will never have that experience. But what I do know is how scary her life must have been. And what I am 100% certain of is that took a lot of bravery to send that email. And I often say, if we were to talk about the qualities that make a good parent and talk about the qualities that make up the right parent, at that very moment, when the chips were down and when she was being challenged to be a parent, she stepped up to the plate and she became, I'm going to say it, she became one of the best parents out there. She was strong enough to say that she was weak. She was strong enough to say that she wasn't right. She was brave enough to say, somebody else needs to do this. I don't know if I would have that strength. So it was at that moment that I built such enormous respect for Little Dude's mum and was amazed by her bravery. Naturally, both Dad and I agreed that we were more than happy to go ahead and have that face-to-face meeting. We organised that, and I can talk about that on a future episode. But that was really emotional. That was fantastic. And obviously, the result of that was that social services were able to submit their case, present their evidence of why we were doing a good job, demonstrate that the Burr family were not going to be contesting, and as a result, the adoption order was made. And that was outstanding. Now, the brilliant part about this is, because Little Dude was that much older, he, and all kids get this, but he was going to have his own hearing. He, at the time, didn't realise that the hearing had already happened. So he thought that when we were going to court for him, it was, that was his day in court, And we told him, and the social worker sort of explained that what happens is the judge gets given all of this information, and social services talk about whether they've found the right family. He would be asked if he felt it's the right family, and then the judge would decide on the day whether this was the right family. He was really, really animated about this, and it was a wonderful, wonderful day. I don't know if it's changed, and I don't know if it's changes for different areas, but we were able to invite up to 50 people to come to what we called the celebration hearing. I don't know if different people give it a different title, but that's when little dude got to go to court and be told that he'd been formally adopted. And we had a load of family there, and we got to go into the courts, and we all got dressed up, and the judge came out and sort of gave the opening bit, and she asked little dude to stand in the witness stand and read out the witness statement, hold up his hand. She then told him how she had been sort of looking over his files, and she was so proud of how well he had done, and she'd been looking at all of the different files of different parents that could be available, and that she felt that we were the right ones, and she wondered if he agreed, to which he did. And she said, well, then it's settled. Little dude, I'm really happy to let you know that you are now formally a part of this family. And she gave our surname to him, sort of as the gavel hit. And we watched him change. We saw him change. We saw the significance of that moment. So many people talk about how he went into that room as one child and he came out a completely different one. And he really did. He came about a foot taller. And we celebrate that day every single year, 8th of April. We celebrate every year his celebration day. He wants to be sure that he always gets gifts on that, and he wants to be like the Queen. We've told him that's not going to be the case. but we make sure that we have a family day, and we drop what we're doing and we have a day for us as a family and as a unit, and we remind ourselves of the day when it all started, and that feels fantastic, and it's really, really wonderful for us. So that's how the legal process went for us. As I say, it can be different for different people, and one adopter may have different challenges along the road to another. One couple may see that, like I say, during early permanence, you're sort of having to do that challenge at the start and then again. And that's tough. And I can recall how it felt for us. I can recall the stress and anxiety of going to that adoption hearing, even though deep down I knew that it would be nigh on impossible for things to be overturned. I still had so many worries. So for someone who's going through it when they're looking at the first initial hearing, that adoption should be the sort of route, crikey, that's got to be intense. And that's a lot to process. And again, you're so reliant on the professionals doing the right thing for you and presenting the right case, because all you want to do is become a parent. What I can say now, years down the line looking back, is have faith. Have faith in the system, have faith in your social services, have faith that they have put the work in to make this decision. Have faith that they've got enough experience and they've seen enough cases to know, not again with certainty, but to know with an air of confidence what the outcome is going to be. Sometimes that won't go to plan, and you always have to make sure that you offer yourself self-care in that time, and you need to look after yourself at those moments. But in the majority of cases, it's going to go the right way, and this is just a really tricky formality to get us there. But it's a formality that is needed. It's a formality that needs to ensure that due process is being put in place. It's a formality that needs to be put in place to make sure that we aren't cutting corners. I've heard of some cases in the past whereby a social worker didn't delve into the wider family. They didn't look at the bigger picture. And as a result, when the adoption order was going to be coming through, a distant relative, I think a second uncle or something, maybe even an uncle, came forward and said, "Nobody asked me. Had you have asked, I would have wanted to come forward." And the court proceedings had to stop and have another review. Really, really difficult, really, really tough. But that's the right way round, because social services can't have carte blanche, because that doesn't work. We need to be accountable, and by being accountable, we are able to demonstrate all of the things that we have put in place to make sure that these children are safe. So as tough as it is, trust the system, trust that it's there to make sure that these children are safe and they're going to be loved. So yeah, for all of those of you that are going through the processes, obviously I know that a lot of hearings have had to go on hold. I know a lot of other hearings have gone virtual. That's got to be a mass challenge, and I don't envy you at all. But bear with them. They are doing it for the right reasons, and they're going to make the right choice. So that's it for this week. If this episode has brought up any questions, if you would like to know more, if you want to delve more into the sort of the social services world of that, just let me know, because I can reach out to some contacts and perhaps get a frontline social worker onto the podcast and interview them about that and sort of talk about that. So as always, just drop me a line if you'd like to know more. The email address is adoptionadventures123@gmail.com, or you can reach us on our social media. So Facebook and Instagram are adoption.adventures, and our Twitter is adoptionadvent1. Speak to you all soon, and catch you all next week. Bye.